Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Kat, that's C-A-T, bringing home the bacon. Kat, what's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all of your premier podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. And if you found me on TikTok, we'll TikTok to you. We're going to shout out two listeners we have this week. One is in Duncan, British Columbia, there in Canada. It's home of the Cowichan tribe. If you know the Cowichans, they usually have, it's like a little town there on Vancouver Island. And the Cowichans have been known for their sweaters. The tribe is very known. There's beautifully, you know, it's cold in there in Canada. Beautifully put together wool sweaters. Our other town is Pitalito, Colombia. Pitalito is the largest producer of coffee in the world. It's known as the best coffee in the world there in Colombia. And also, we want to give a shout out to everybody that's dealing with these hurricanes. Especially around here, the people in North Carolina and Tennessee and western part of Virginia. We have towns here, Damascus, Lake Clatton, Salem, Virginia, that are really struggling. And if you can reach out and get some money to like the Red Cross or Humane Society or any reputable aid agency, please do, because everybody needs your help right now. Anyway, giving y'all a round of applause.
All right. Alcohol is always here on the back porch. You know, everyone has chose their own path in life, and fortunately, mine leads straight to the liquor store. Nice. Today, I'm having Maker's Mark, one of my favorite bourbons, and 7-Up in a highball glass. It's hard to beat Makers and 7-Up in a glass over ice. Kat, what you got?
I have, 175 years ago, this past week, Edgar Allan Poe died.
175 there in Baltimore. 75 years ago?
Yes, there in Baltimore. It's a little mysterious how he did die, but drinking a lovely cocktail here in the month of Halloween called the Raven Cocktail. It's a little bit of vodka, rum, blue, curacao, and a little Chambord with a little 7-Up on top.
Ooh, sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, doll.
Looks pretty spooky.
It is kind of spooky.
Maybe I'll have a sip. Allergies kicking ass. Today we're going to discuss one of our favorite topics, and that's food. And what we need right now is a food revolution. We're probably the luckiest people to ever be alive at this point in time, where just about every and any cuisine we want is pretty much right at our fingertips, whether you go out to eat or like to cook at home. I mean, you can basically have whatever you want. A little side note, teach your kids to cook. It's probably the most important life skill. Let's see, years back, we had the vegan thing. That was big. It's like early 2000s. It's nothing wrong with veganism, just not for us.
I grew up on a cattle farm.
I think that lost some steam years ago. I don't know of any vegan restaurants around here. There's probably one or two left. But a few years back, we had the big turkey sausage, turkey bacon, turkey this, turkey that. I love turkey, but anyway, found out that maybe substituting turkey in place of pork wasn't all that healthy. Turkey stuff, high in saturated fat, sodium, all that bad stuff.
Yeah, in order to make it taste like something else, they got to add something else in there.
Yeah, I didn't buy into it. It's still out there. Then not too long ago, we had the next big thing was the plant-based alternatives, food made from plants, fruits, veggies, and nuts and stuff. That's a hell no for me. And now the plant-based menu is not a vegan diet. You can eat chicken, beef, eggs, fish, dairy products. And even the fast food industry had gotten into the plant-based game with Burger King, Taco Bell, White Castle. Word on the street is this stuff doesn't taste that great. But anyway, screw all that. The food revolution I'm asking for, we're asking for, is like some new fast food options that don't suck. I mean, out here, we got your basic Burger King, Wendy's, Taco Bell, Cookout, Arby's, and two old guys on the back porch. We kind of refuse all of it. At the Cookout, you can get lucky every once in a while and get something decent to eat. Arby's is supposed to be at the top of the food chain, and the one out here sucks out loud. We don't have a Steak and Shake, do we? Or In-N-Out Burger. We don't have that. Or Shake Shack.
Yeah.
We got none of that.
Closest Shake Shacks in D.C.
Now, we did get a couple Raisin Cane's that popped up around here. I'm willing to make the drive and give the Raisin Cane's a go. Now, lately, Cat and I's experiences out in the restaurant vein here continue to go bad. We hit the Panera Bread. What was that, like 40 plus to eat lunch?
Right.
And you got to do all the work. You got to tap in your order, go up there, get your food, go get your drinks, and then you got to clean up afterwards. What did you get, Cat? It's apple season here in Virginia.
Okay, so they're known for their, what is it, Fuji apple salad? They even have the dressing. I've got a bottle of the dressing in the fridge over here. And I had gotten the dressing before, and I'd made my salad, my apple-ish salad with that. And I do a pretty good job with that. But we went there, and I got the salad, and the apples were dried slice apple.
They were shaved.
They were shaved. They weren't even really, they were dried.
Not apple slices on a salad called apple something.
Right.
But it was shaved on top. So they're getting like 10 salads out of one apple. We recently hit the old school Cracker Barrel.
Oh my God.
That's right. The supposedly new and improved Cracker Barrel. That's what we heard. They've been running ads lately around here telling us how, you know, it's new and improved menu and all this stuff. Now, back in the day, Cracker Barrel, they never needed to advertise. You know, they're always strategically located right off the next exit off the highway.
Right.
And they're usually rocking all day long, but hell, me and Kat went in there straight up lunchtime, and it was crickets in that bitch. Now, we hadn't been to a Cracker Barrel in, what, 5 years or so?
Feels like it, yeah.
And it'll probably be another, what, 50 years before we go back in there. I couldn't believe how bad the food was. I mean, they've got a good rep. Maybe we should have ordered breakfast. Maybe that's the only thing. You can't screw up eggs. But, you know, I'm looking at the menu, and I asked the waitress for a tip on whether to get the Southern something chicken or the chicken and dumplings. And she said, I got a tip for you. Go eat somewhere else. Now, she was right. We should have got up. But basically, the only reason we went in there is because I wanted to get the hash brown casserole. So the plates come out, and I look on my plate, and there's like this grease skid mark where the hash brown casserole had like slid in the process of being delivered to the table. Red flag there. So I stuck my fork in the hash brown casserole, and it was just a mound of greasy mess. It was disgusting. I mean, I don't know how Cracker Barrel could ruin, you know, the one thing. It was the one thing I went in there to get, and it was bad. What do you, Kat, you got some kind of country fried
steak.
Right, with mashed potatoes.
And your sawmill gravy.
The famous Cracker Barrel.
Sawmill
gravy. So I foolishly stuck my fork over there in Kat's plate and stabbed her sawmill gravy mashed potatoes. And I've never tasted mud before, but if I had, I have a feeling that that's what that sawmill. Yeah. I mean, it was it bad?
I grew up a country girl. I, you know, my people were famous for their bacon and cooking because my grandfather had a sawmill. And what they put out there was not worth putting a board on.
Maybe that's why it was crickets in there.
Like I said, don't know. Looked like they had a lot of Interstate 95 traffic.
I don't know. Look for the nearest Cracker Barrel near.
Or elderly who didn't have any taste buds left.
Yeah, they might be closing soon like the rest of this stuff. But it not all was lost. I did score a Taylor Swift calendar in the gift shop. I mean, I need a little dart practice. So the food revolution that I'm talking about, we need new restaurants. We need new ideas where they kind of centralize on one thing. I mean, some of these restaurants out here try to do steak, seafood, throw in some Mexican, and they can't do any of it. And, you know, believe it or not, in the, like a semi-small metropolitan area close to us called Short Pump, we don't have any barbecue places. We don't have any I take that back. There is a couple barbecue places that popped up. But what is it, like $50 to eat a barbecue sandwich?
Oh, yeah. You're going to pay for it. Freaking rent there in Short Pump is expensive. You better open up your purse.
Seafood, we got nothing. Okay. Again, there's a place out here called the Boathouse. We've talked about it before. I don't even know how it stays open. Steak places are your run-of-the-mill chain shit.
Except for Perry's. Perry's,
yeah,
is
now
good.
We did get a Perry Steakhouse and Grill out here.
I'm ready to go back to Perry's.
Me and Kat went in there. It was pretty much the bomb. And evidently, you know, nowadays, it's going to cost you what? $200 to go have a steak dinner. That's what it cost.
Or you can go to Costco and get some decent pieces of meat and cook it your daggone self.
There you go. I mean, that's where this thing's going. You know, in another area that's turned into the haves and have-nots is, you know, just trying to feed yourself. Like I said, food revolution. We got to do something. We need big business with big bank to start banking some of these places that are affordable restaurants for people on tight budgets. Hell, Kat and I.
Well, you know, used to be a thing called Shoney's, which people didn't always give it a high praise, but it was at least affordable.
Right. And it was edible. Okay. I mean,
not like Golden Corral.
Kat and I hit this Mexican jank when we went to the beach a couple weekends ago. I paid $80 for a fajita and fish tacos.
Right.
Okay. Come on. What are we doing? And really, the only solution to this problem is, the cat just said, to fix the stuff at home. You know,
that's what we're down to at this point.
You can do it. You know, expand your horizons. Try different stuff. Get out of the rut. I know sometimes you get home from work and you're like, fuck it, I'm tired. I'm going to just DoorDash some Pizza Hut or something. Nothing wrong with that. But
go on Pinterest and type some dish you've had before, I've heard of, it's really great, and just try and fix it there at home. Honestly, because you might be surprised. You could have a new fave there that you could just fix your daggone self.
Right. I said, I'm, when, once you get older, like we are here on the back porch, fast food kind of phases out, doesn't it, Kat?
Yeah, it's, I mean, just, when you were 20-something or a teen and you went to, it's right there. And I can just go by and
you
buy
didn't
that.
Think it was bad.
No. Uh-uh.
But when we go and try to do it now, it's like they hand us a bag of shit. I mean, it's just, it's disgusting.
Maybe our expectations are further up the line now. I don't know.
I don't know. McDonald's, speaking of horrible fast food, they're supposed to be opening up this new thing called Cosmics.
I've seen it there in the Tiki Taki.
It's at least it's something new, something different. It's more like beverage oriented,
right?
Maybe a smart move for McDonald's because their food's not good, so maybe they can do something else. They serve like coffees, teas, lemonades, blended drinks. Which the customer can like customize. Uh-oh, watch out, Starbucks. They're coming for your ass. So Cosmics is also offering some kind of McMuffin Sando, some kind of pretzel bite things. There's like a sweet section. But anyway, it looks pretty good. We'll see if one pops up around here. You know, we do have so many options these days. You know, like out here, we had Asian restaurants, right? Popping up.
Right.
Kind of left and right.
Asian people moving here too.
And so we kind of delved into it more. Kat's always been a fan of it. Me, not so much. And again, that's another thing you can make at home. That's kind of inexpensive. It's like rice, a protein. What, there's some veggies in, some
plus
soy sauce?
Plus, you can go down the Asian aisle and pretty much find everything you need. Like, there's a thing I like called Pad Thai. I hadn't had it for a while. I even DoorDashed it one day. But it's something I've made before. And you just get the sauce and you figure out how to do the noodles and
another
you're there.
One's, Mediterranean food, right. Which is always overlooked. But it's so good. We go to a place out here called Tzatziki's. It's just fresh. That's the word I always use to describe it. You know, shish kebabs, Greek salads, hummus, Mediterranean food. It's awesome. Okay, we love it. Like I said, I don't think people think about it that much.
Yeah.
You know, Italian food. It's kind of easy, right?
We're it's
boiling
fairly
pasta,
easy, yeah.
And we got sauce and a protein. So, you know, just go for it. Let's get this food revolution going. Let's try some new stuff. Go outside the box. Try something different. You know, it might go good. It might suck, but at least you tried. You know, burgers, pizza, chicken nuggets.
Nuggies.
Just stop. You know, please stop. You're missing out on so many other options that are right here in front of your face. And all it takes, just a little time and effort. So, you'll thank me later. You're welcome. All right, let's move on to one tough, awesome lady. I'm still haven't fixed those. All right, it's Emmeline Pankhurst,
right.
Born in 1858 from Manchester, England. This lady headed up many women's movement groups, the Women's Franchise League, the
right.
Independent Labor Party, the Women's Party, the Women's Social and Political Union, all in an effort to get women on equal footing with men in England. And the first step was to get women the right to vote, which sounds kind of silly now, but that's the way it was way back then. Hell, here in the States, women weren't allowed to vote until 1920.
Right. England got it in 1918.
Right.
So they were two years ahead of us.
Right. And check this out. Women only over the age of 30 could vote back then. Emmeline Pankhurst, not a fan of the peaceful protests, by the way. She went to jail many times.
She even wore a disguise sometimes when she went out to make it harder for the police to see and arrest her.
She got arrested, harassing the cops, destruction of property. Hell, I think her and the girls, they lit shit on fire. I mean, she was trying to get her point across. Emmeline Pankhurst was not taking no for an answer.
And when she would get arrested, sometimes they would have hunger strikes or they would force feed them.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very tough.
Throughout her life, she gave speeches in England, here in the States.
Carnegie Hall, she spoke at.
Yep, Canada. Demanding equal rights for women across the board.
There's a great movie from 2015 called Suffragette. I think Meryl Streep plays her.
It was in 2015 that came out.
Right.
Let's see. Emmeline Pankhurst was placed at number 27 on the list of the 100 greatest Brits or Britons. I don't know how to say it. Britons.
Most important people of the 20th century.
There's a statue of Emmeline that was erected shortly after her death in the Victoria Tower Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Emmeline's daughter took up the fight for women's rights. It runs in their blood. She has a great-granddaughter, Helen Pankhurst, who works for women's rights. And that makes Emmeline Pankhurst one tough, awesome lady. Are we still watching?
We're watching. And this one was pretty good. It's called Fight Night. It's on Peacock. This is the setting. It's 1970. Muhammad Ali has been out of boxing for 3 years. They wanted to, since he didn't want to go to the Vietnam War, which I don't blame him. Who would want to go there? So they were trying to get him into jail for 5 years and $10,000.
So this is all true.
This is all true. $10,000 fine. But he ended up making a deal so he wouldn't box for 3 years. Of course, at this time, he's not Cassius Clay. He is Muhammad Ali, and he is a black Muslim. And he feels that, you know, because he doesn't want to, he's Muslim. He doesn't want to go over to another country and kill people. And of course, for those 3 years, he could not box. Well, his time is over and he's getting to box and he's coming to Atlanta. He's going to box against Jerry Quarry, called the new
White guy.
White Hope or whatever. And he's going to box there at Morehouse. But of course, we remember back in our day when there was a big boxing match, you didn't have it on TV sometimes, and everybody would come to town and go see the big boxing match. He's been waiting for 3 years to box, you know, and
that
of course,
fight wasn't on.
Hmm?
That fight wasn't on television?
No, no. This was his big comeback fight. You know, maybe you could listen to it on the radio, maybe.
That's right.
Right. But it wouldn't be on TV. So, but everybody, you know, decides that they're going to come. Like Diana Ross is there, Sidney Poitier, Hank Aaron, Coretta Scott King. And also, who's also coming to town is pimps, drug dealers, ordinary boxing fans, yeah. Gangsters. And
the lowlifes. The lowlifes.
And in this story, Gordon Williams, who's known as Chicken Man, plants himself. He goes, oh, all these great, you know, what he's calling the black mafia is all coming to town. I want to hook up with those guys and do some more gangstery type of stuff than just this low level numbers and running women here in Atlanta. So he's like, I'm going to go have a big party, after party at this house for all these gangsters that are coming to town. And that's where everything starts. And what happens is during this is, at the after party, it's a big heist because they know all these people are there with money. And
we're gonna steal some.
We're gonna steal some things, and it's a true story. It's pretty. So far, I've watched. It's like a little mini series there on Peacock. I've watched two episodes.
It's all centered around that one fight.
This one night there, fight night there in Atlanta.
I believe he knocked him out, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Kevin Hart is in it, Taraji P. Henson, Don Cheadle, Samuel L. Jackson, Terrence Howard is in it. It's pretty good. I've got to admit, I was really getting into it.
Right.
Anyway.
Plus, when you know it's sort of true,
sort of
some
true.
Or most of it, it makes it more interesting.
Right. Anyway, so far, I've watched maybe 2.5 episodes, and it's pretty good.
So the Muhammad Ali character is not like the center guy. It's not
him. He's like one part of the story because Don Cheadle is like his protector there in Atlanta to make sure nobody messes with him. You know, of course, because it's 1970 in Atlanta because the Klan's around. Anyway.
Well, Muhammad, he was very polarizing figure.
Oh, he's a very,
especially right then.
You know, he didn't, you know, people are mad he didn't go to Vietnam and this, that, and the other. Anyway, so far, I would recommend it. So far, the 2.5 episodes I've watched, it's pretty good. It's called Fight Night, and you can find it on Peacock.
All right. It's time for Shot of the Week.
And it is a churro shot.
What is this? It looks like another chocolate milk concrete shot.
Well, when they put Irish cream and everything, it's kind of hard not to be.
All right, what do we got?
It's, let's see.
Called what?
A churro.
A churro.
Like the little Mexican pastries with cinnamon all over and they're kind of fried.
Okay.
Okay, it's Irish cream, cinnamon whiskey, and... vanilla vodka.
Down the hatch. What did you put on the... Is that cinnamon on the rim?
Cinnamon on the rim.
You know, it's pretty good.
It is good. That's better than I expected.
It's pretty good.
Mmm.
Wow. It took two swallows. A little milky, but not bad. I don't know if it's going to give me a buzz, but it tastes really good. All right. Thank you, Kat.
You're welcome.
This week we were bumpered in with a band I really like. The Scorpions, formed in 1965 from Hanover, Germany.
65? That's...
These dudes have been around for like 60 freaking years, yep. Almost.
They're having their 60th anniversary in 2025.
And they don't look that bad.
No, they don't.
You know, unlike Motley Crue and... Def Leppard and Aerosmith and all those losers.
We saw David Lee Roth turn 70 the other day. It was not pretty.
Yeah. The Scorpions, they're actually still kicking ass. They ruled pretty much from, say, late 70s to the early 90s.
If you want to see them, February 27th, they'll be in Las Vegas at the Planet Hollywood Live Theater there in Vegas.
They're great. My brother and I saw them in the 80s, okay? And it was great. Dual guitar assault by Francis and Herman. They got a great rhythm section. And Klaus can still sing.
Mm.
He can still sing.
Still got the pipes.
Just a great hard rock band. So many killer songs. The Scorpions have sold over 100 million records worldwide. Because they're loved all over the world. But for some stupid-ass reason, the idiots in charge of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame have not inducted the Scorpions. I still don't understand that. About 10 years ago, they did this great set on MTV Unplugged. And I guess MTV Unplugged is still going. But MTV... If you notice that, if you watch it at all, they repeat these concerts over and over again. And this one's actually good. And it was filmed in Greece. And there's this one song they do on that Unplugged show called Dancing in the Moonlight that is so freaking cool. The way they kind of slowed that song down from the original version. Very talented band. Even after all these years, Klaus Meine, he can still belt it out. Check out the Scorpions wherever you get your music. I'm going to thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.